Our scripture this morning is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 10, verses 40 through 42. Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. The scripture today is pretty short and sweet and to the point, but it is actually just the concluding thoughts to a lengthy discourse, a speech, a sermon, really, that Jesus is giving to his disciples. This particular speech, one of five that you will find in the Gospel of Matthew, is known as the missionary discourse, because in it, Jesus is talking about sending his followers out into the world, sending them out to do almost everything that Jesus had been doing: preaching and healing, casting out demons, even raising the dead. But just because the disciples were about to go out with Jesus' authority and with Jesus' wonderful message, it didn't mean that things were always going to be easy. It didn't mean that people were always going to accept the life-giving message. And Jesus is really honest with them about that in this discourse. He is honest with them. At times he describes it as they will be the sheep among the wolves. But regardless of the situations that they will find themselves in, Jesus is crystal clear about this. They should go and not be afraid. Now, after all of this honesty from Jesus, it is not unexpected that you would think that those disciples sitting there would wonder, why should we go at all? Why should we go when Jesus himself has said, from time to time, your best option is going to be to shake the dust off your feet and move on? They had watched Jesus go places and not be accepted. In fact, Jesus was giving them these instructions for their missionary work, while there are still some pretty nasty words hanging in the air around them, words uttered by the Pharisees, words accusing Jesus of casting out demons through the authority of the ruler of the demons. That's not only an awful thing to say, it doesn't make any sense. But Jesus just kept on doing what he was doing because he knew that he was reaching those who knew who he was, in whose name he was going about his business. And that is what Jesus is asking his followers to remember here in these closing words of this discourse. He states that when they go out, and when they are received as prophets, as the righteous, as the little ones — that's just a word Matthew likes to use for his disciples — when they go out and they are received in those communities where they venture, those who welcome them are welcoming Jesus. And those who welcome them welcome God in heaven who sent him. Not the ruler of the demons, the creator of the world, not Beelzebul, the great I am. My in-laws live in Montevallo, just down the road, just down Highway 119 from here. And a few blocks from Barbara and Herbie's home is the University of Montevallo. Several years ago, Barbara had a nephew who had a friend who was going to be going to school there on a baseball scholarship. And so her nephew got in touch with them, and he put his friend in touch with my in-laws, and they pretty much opened their home to this young man. Now, he didn't live with them. He lived on campus. But they were welcome to come to the house, whether they were there or not. He was welcome to come over to do laundry or to study or to just get away from the noisy life on campus. They welcomed him without any real limitations on what his presence in their home was going to look like. Now, I'm sure some of you are getting a little anxious just thinking about doing something like that. I mean, when we think about the people that we know and love and trust, but then we think about the people that they know and love and trust, we can pretty quickly probably think of some situations that, let's just say, might be ill-advised if we were to extend our trust that second level out. What was to keep this young man from coming over when they were not home and taking whatever it is that he wanted? What was to keep this young man from coming over when they weren't home with a few of his friends and, well, let's just use our imaginations? But he didn't. He did not take advantage of their hospitality and the welcome that they extended to him as if he was their nephew, who they knew and loved. That was a decision they never regretted. They knew, for instance, that if one of their children, my husband or my sister-in-law, if one of their children had been in school in Mobile, that Barbara's brothers and sisters would have welcomed them into their home and that they would have done the same for one of their friends. And they know that when they offered welcome to their nephew's friend, they were doing something for their nephew, and in turn, they were doing something for Barbara's brother, his father. Now, I want us to be very honest with ourselves this morning. This sort of welcome is about as far as we are comfortable sometimes. We are comfortable welcoming the stranger into our homes, into our communities, into our churches, only to the extent that they have good references. References might look like the one that my in-laws got for that young man, the reference of someone that they knew. We are pretty comfortable welcoming in those people who are the friends or family of someone that we know and are comfortable with. For instance, how many of you, hearing that Gary Formby was coming here to be your pastor or that I was coming here, have asked around about us? References also could be unspoken things about people. They often are, about how someone looks or dresses, about what socioeconomic status they appear to be a part of, what race they are, silly things like what college team they pull for, what political party they align themselves with. In our society, we generally aren't nearly as serious about welcoming the stranger as the people in that society that Jesus was a part of. First century Jews and the early Christians were incredibly serious about hospitality, not just to those that they knew or to those that looked like them or to those who came with good references from people they knew, but they were serious about hospitality to everyone. Now, for the Jews, this hospitality was part of their law. It was an extension of many different concepts that you find in the Old Testament, but the passage that we find in Deuteronomy 10 is, here's a good indication of where they get this seriousness about hospitality. In Deuteronomy 10, starting at verse 17, it says, "For the Lord your God is a God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who is not partial and takes no bribes, who executes justice for the orphan and the widow, and who loves the strangers, providing them food and clothing. And here it is, you shall also love the stranger, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt." Early Christians, including those to whom this missionary discourse was directed, early Christians, of course, knew these same things. And they saw them in action as they followed Jesus. They saw Jesus' radical hospitality in spite of what the Pharisees said about him, in spite of what some would later do to him. I like to think about it this way. We are to welcome everyone as we would welcome God, because God is in each one of them. God is in each one of them. The ones that we can trust to come into our homes and the ones we don't want to. The ones who vote the way we do and the ones who do not. The ones who live in the same neighborhoods as us and the ones who do not have a home to call their own. The ones who look like us and the ones who not only don't look like us, but they don't speak the same language we do. The ones who come with good references from our friends and the ones who don't know a single person that we know, because they all come with the only reference that matters. God created them. God loves them. And if they don't know our God as their God, God wants us to do whatever we can to change that. God wants us to do something to help them get that message, and that might just be by offering a radical welcome. I know that this passage today is part of a speech. It's a commissioning, a sending out that Jesus was giving to his disciples. I know that these verses are a reminder to them that while they wouldn't always be accepted in the world, when they were accepted and God was accepted, and that was worth all of the other rejection they might meet. No matter how out of whack that rejection acceptance ratio might get. But these verses are words to more than just those to whom Jesus spoke the words. Think about it. They already heard it. The author of the Gospel of Matthew wrote them down so that the message would speak to those in the early church to whom and for whom he was writing them. These words were an encouragement for those who would go out like those disciples. But they were also words for those in the early church that would be part of those missions in different ways by supporting the missionaries. In addition, these words are a reminder of that overall biblical teaching about hospitality to strangers. Whether the strangers in question are missionaries or unbelievers, the Bible teaches us that compassionate, radical, loving, impartial hospitality has the power to sow great things and reap amazing rewards in God's harvest. And these rewards are both for the one who is welcomed and the one who does the welcoming. I don't turn to it often, but this week in my study, I did read this passage in The Message. That is that modern-day paraphrase of the Bible by Eugene Peterson. And I wanted to share it with you here because I thought that the paraphrasing of this particular passage was profound. It begins, We are intimately linked in this harvest work. Anyone who accepts what you do accepts me, the one who sent you. Anyone who accepts what I do accepts my Father who sent me. Accepting a messenger of God is as good as being God's messenger. Accepting someone's help is as good as giving someone help. This is a large work I have called you into, but don't be overwhelmed by it. It's best to start small. Give a cool cup of water to someone who is thirsty, for instance. The smallest act of giving or receiving makes you a true apprentice. You won't lose out on a thing. I love how that started. We are intimately linked in this harvest work. We are linked with God, and we are linked with each other. And together, we are called to serve, called to witness, and called to welcome the stranger in big and small ways. In the power of the Spirit, in the name of Jesus, for the glory of God. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, help our hearts to grow three sizes today, that we would welcome everyone we meet radically, impartially, and in a loving way. Help us as we support your missions in the world through our financial offerings, through our own words of witness, and through the welcoming of all who we meet. In your Son's most precious name we pray. Amen.